Alrighty. Well, those of you that are heading in, come right in, sit with your team, get right where you need to go there. Those of you that are adults that are with us for the first time or the first time since Sunday, thank you for being here. We're glad to have you here tonight. And it's exciting how many teenagers that have been coming all week, and we've seen some really good decisions made. The Lord's really been working, and we're praying that here in just the next few minutes, the Lord will really work once again. And that we'll really be able to see a lot this week that the Lord's done in the lives of these teenagers and get to know them after the service and things and spend a few minutes talking to them. And many of these teenagers, hopefully, will be faithful and keep coming to church, and you'll be seeing them on a consistent basis. And so get to know them. That way you'll know their face when you do see them, and you'll be able to talk to them. All right, open your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. Excuse me, chapter 3. And all week this week, we have been talking about, or our theme has been the Olympics. It's been the track team against the field team, and all week that's been our theme. And some of the preaching has kind of gone with that. Some of it kind of got off course a little bit as far as that theme, and we got away from it a little bit. But the entire week as a whole has had the theme of the Olympics. And tonight, I want to preach a message on the closing ceremony. And if you think about the closing ceremony of the Olympics, there are a lot of things about it that probably all of us can think of. All of us have probably seen a closing ceremony at different times, and there are probably different parts of it that would stick out to different ones of us. And tonight, there are some things that I think we can relate between the closing ceremony at the Olympic Games and the closing ceremony of our faith. And so tonight, I want to preach on the closing ceremony of our faith. And the things that will happen in the end, the things that will happen as our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that that day our hope will become sight. And right now we hope to be there. That it's a hope that we have, and we can assure it on the Word of God. It's an assured hope. It's a hope that we don't just have to hope for in the sense of hoping that maybe someone will give us $1 million tonight, but we can have an assurance about that hope because God has promised it. But at the same time, we know that it is, at this point, a hope. It's something we have not yet seen heaven. We have not yet seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the hope of those things, and we can look forward to those things. And on that day, when we get to heaven, and when if we live to the rapture, or else when we die and we wake up and see the Savior face to face, then the hope will then become sight. And that'll be an exciting day. But on that day, and really especially after the rapture, we know that what will happen is the rapture will come, all of the Christians will be taken out of this world, and we'll be with the Lord in the air, and we'll meet him there. And then on earth, there will be the 7-year tribulation period, and during that time in heaven, immediately after the rapture, there will be the judgment seat. And tonight, I want to focus on that place and of the judgment seat. It's a place that is very important for us as Christians to think about from time to time and to understand. And many of you as teenagers have made decisions this week. You made decisions to trust Christ as your Savior or to get things right if you were already saved. And as a Christian teenager, something that you need to be thinking about, something to look forward to, is that day when we get to the closing ceremony. That day when we get to the judgment seat of Christ. And we need to be prepared for that time. And so the Bible tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and beginning in verse number 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And then go over, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll see one more passage here. We'll go back and forth a couple of times if you want to bookmark it. It won't be a lot of times, but a couple of times we'll be back and forth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the beginning in verse number 8. The Bible says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you would bless the preaching of your word. I pray that you would help us to understand some things that will help us to live a life that's sold out for the cause of Christ. We love you and thank you for it, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen. In the closing ceremony of the Olympics, there is a specific place that it will happen, and that is in the city or in the place where the Olympics are happening. And really, it's a time that's a very exciting time, and especially for the people who have won an Olympic medal. It's a time where if you watch the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, this last Summer Olympics a couple of years ago, then you probably were either watched or at least kept up with maybe what Michael Phelps was doing. He won all those medals. He won 8 gold medals. And every time that he would race, there were a lot of people that would find TVs, and they would find a way to watch Michael Phelps race, and they would replay it on the TV a few times. And it was very easy in the United States of America to keep up with what he was doing and how he was doing and how many medals he had won and all those things. But you know, when he would race, for some reason, he didn't wear his gold medal. He didn't come out to the pool and or come out of the pool and go over to the podium and get a gold medal around his neck. And a few times he would go right from there to the next race. But when he went to the next race, he wasn't wearing his gold medal while he raced. So you really didn't get to see it during that time. But then when the closing ceremony came, Michael Phelps, I'm sure, was excited. Michael Phelps took those gold medals and he put them around his neck and he tried to display them as well as he could so that you could see all of his medals as he came out and walked around during that closing ceremony. It was a time that Michael Phelps was able to show off all the medals that he had won. And everyone else that was in those Olympics or any other Olympics during the closing ceremony, it's an opportunity for them, it's a time for them to come out and display what they have won or what they have earned, what they've done during those Olympics. And in many of the same ways, that's what the closing ceremony of our faith is. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, there are rewards that we will be given. There are things that we will earn. And depending on those things depends on what we will have to show as we come before Jesus Christ and lay crowns at his feet. Some will have much to show because they will have lived the kind of a life and they will have lived a sold out life for the Lord and they will have earned many crowns and jewels and they will have things that they will be able to offer back, and there will be the day when they will be excited about this day at the judgment seat of Christ. But others, they'll be saved, but they won't really sell out for God. They won't really live fully for him, and they will be allowed into heaven. As you'll see in a minute, they won't have near the jewels, near the crowns, near the awards to be able to display on that day. And so as we look at this, we are looking at the closing ceremony of our faith. I see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about the judgment seat. It's a specific place. It has a destination. And when we as Christians all have the same destination that we're going to, and that's the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us will stand there. There is not a one of us that will be able to say, Lord, you don't understand. I got saved as a teenager, or maybe I got saved later in life. And Lord, you don't understand. I really think that I should be exempt from the judgment seat. You know, Lord, I really don't want to give an account. I really don't want to come in there. And so I'll tell you what, why don't you just kind of let me slide on by and I'll just go into heaven and I'll just skip the judgment seat stage. We don't have that opportunity. It's a destination, and it's a specific destination that we all must show up at, that will be there on that day. The Bible tells us that in the end times, there are two judgments. One judgment is the judgment seat of Christ, and that takes place for Christians. The other judgment is the great white throne judgment. That will take place later in the end times, and that judgment will be for those who rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so here on this day, it is a destination for believers. And every person in this room who has received Jesus Christ as their Savior will stand on this day, not with friends, not with parents, not with a bunch of people that they hung out with, but they'll stand alone and give an account before God on that day of how they lived their life as a Christian. I believe that on that day, it won't be the judgment of sin, but it'll be the judgment of our work. Did we do the right things as a Christian? Did we obey God as a Christian? Because the Bible tells us that our sin is forgiven, that it will be no more remembered. And so I don't believe that God will take something that he has told us has been put away deeper than the deepest sea, further than the east is from the west, that he's put out of his own mind and bring it back up on that day. So the judgment on that day is, what did you do with the time that God gave you? What did you do with the opportunities that you had to serve him? What did you do with the opportunities to tell people about Jesus Christ? Were you faithful? Were you consistent? It's a destination that we will all go to, but I see that on that day there is a division, and I've already alluded to it. But if you look here in verse number 11, it says, "No other foundation can for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation." The foundation is Jesus Christ. In other words, somebody who says, well, I serve Buddha will not be there on that day because they don't have the right foundation. Somebody who says, well, I serve myself will not be there on that day because they don't have the right foundation. Somebody who says, well, I was a really good person and I did a lot of good things and I really want God to be happy with me will not show up there on that day because they don't have the right foundation. There's only one kind of a person that's going to be judged, and that is the person whose foundation for their life is Jesus Christ. And the only way for him to be your foundation is by receiving him as your Savior. And can I say, if you're here this evening and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're going to miss the destination because you don't have the right foundation. But if you get the right foundation, then we can be confident that we'll be in this destination. We can be confident that we'll be in the place that is there for believers to be judged, and that we will not be there, or at least we will not be judged, at the great white throne judgment that is for those who rejected Christ. See, you'll be at one of the two. The question is, where will you be? Will you be at the one for those who are saved and going to be judged, and then ultimately they're going to go into heaven for eternity? Or will you be at the other judgment for those that will be judged and then cast into the lake of fire for eternity? The decision is yours. It's all based on your foundation. What will you do with Jesus? Receive him as your Savior or reject him and do it on your own? I see that there is a destination. I see that there is a division. It's all about the foundation. And only the saved will be there. But then I notice not only those, but there's a declaration. Look in verse number 13, if you will, here in 1 Corinthians. And it says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is." You know, on that day, the Bible tells us that some will take the foundation of Jesus Christ, and they will build up on that foundation with gold and stones and precious jewels and precious stones. There will be some works, and I believe probably all of us will have some good things, some gold and jewels and precious stones, and some wood, hay, and stubble. But the idea is some people are going to have a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. When it goes through the fire of God's judgment, it's all going to burn up. And God's going to say, you know, young person, I really don't have anything much left out of your life that I can give you the metal for. I really don't have any gold. I really don't have any jewels. I don't have anything to make the crown out of your life. Because you lived your life for yourself rather than living it for me. You had the right foundation, but you didn't build the right kind of a building on it. You had the right way. You had the right start, but you didn't finish right. And I want to challenge you, teenager and adult alike, that our job as Christians is to finish right. It's not just to live as a Christian for a while, just to be sold out for the most part of our life, or as a teenager to say, well, I'll really get sold out for God when I get a little bit older, or when I get out of high school, or when I'm not around the same friends I am now, then I'll really get on fire for God. It's not, well, I've already done a good job most of my life, so I can kind of relax in my later years. No, we must push on towards the finish line and sell out for the cause of Christ and live our whole life building up these gold and jewels and precious stones so that when we get to our destination, God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You didn't just get the right foundation, but you built the right building on top of it. You did the right thing. I wonder, teenager, if you were to die right now, What kind of a building do you have built? You're here, maybe you say, Brother Brian, I've got the right foundation. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Well, what kind of building do you have? Have you told your friends at school about the Lord? Have you been faithful when you have opportunities to witness, to tell people about Jesus Christ? Are you somebody who, like we talked about last night, is sold out for God or sold out for this world? I wonder tonight, as all of us, well, what kind of a building are we building every day of our life? Because every day we are either stacking on the wood, the hay, the stubble, or we're stacking on some gold, some jewels, some precious stones. And it's important that as we build that building, we build it right so that someday we will not just be told, well, you know, you can come into heaven, but I don't really have anything I can give you. You know, I really don't want to stand before the Lord someday with, you know, just one crown and watch a bunch of people come in with a stack of crowns. You know, I'd rather be Michael Phelps if I had my choice at the Olympics. I would be excited to win one gold medal. But you know, if I had my choice between winning a gold medal in the Olympics or winning 8 gold medals in the Olympics, I'll take 8. You can sign me up for 8. If you give me my choice, it's not going to take me long to figure out that I'd rather have 8 than 1. It's a simple choice. You know, today, teenager, you have the opportunity to make that choice. How much are you going to have as you come into heaven? Are you going to come in with one crown, the crown of life, and say, well, Lord, I got saved, so I have something to put down at your feet? Or is it going to be, oh, Lord, I can't wait for the day where I get to come and bring all these crowns before you and lay them down at your feet? Oh, it's so exciting because look at all that I've done for you. Look how faithful I've been. Look how much I've served you. Oh, Lord, it's not to glorify me, but I served you so that now I can glorify you in heaven. See, we will enjoy heaven. I believe that we will enjoy heaven more depending on how we live this life. If we're more prepared for heaven, then we'll enjoy it more. But if we haven't prepared for it, it'll still be good, but it won't be as good as somebody who lived their life preparing to be there. Because we'll come in prepared to have the fullest extent of enjoyment because we sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think there will be a miserable person in heaven. I think there will be some people that will say, oh, I'm so glad that I didn't slow down. I'm so glad that I didn't wait till I was 20 to serve the Lord, but I did it in high school. I'm so glad that now I have all these crowns because I served the Lord while I was on earth. I see that there's a destination. I see that there's a declaration. But I see here, and if you'll go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again, I see that there is a dread. There is a difficulty that is here. There is one part of this that we need to be aware of. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, he's talking here in verse number 10 about the judgment seat of Christ. And sometimes I've heard this verse used as though it was at the great white throne judgment, but that's not the context. The context is that they're at the judgment seat, the one for Christians. And notice what he says in the very next verse, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, sometimes I think of that day and I think, well, how could that be terrifying? I already know that at the end of the day, I'm going to be in heaven. I already know that when the judgment is done, I've received Christ as my Savior. As long as I have the right foundation, even if I didn't build the right building, even if everything I did in my life gets burned up and it was all for the wrong reasons and all for the wrong motives and I never did anything for the glory of God, hey, I'm still getting into heaven. And I used to think, well, how could that be a terrifying thought? I'm going to heaven either way. But the Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. I heard a pastor, and I've heard a couple of people say it now, but I heard a pastor a couple of years ago, and he said this. He said, I would rather stand at the great white throne judgment, knowing that for eternity I would be cast into the lake of fire, than to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, knowing I'd done nothing for the Lord. Now, I don't think I can honestly make that statement, because I'd rather know that for eternity I'm going to be in heaven. I'm selfish, I suppose, But I like knowing that, and I'm glad to know that. But I understand what he was trying to say was this, that when God judges the world who rejected him, he'll be a God of wrath, a God of fierce anger. The Bible tells us that on that day he will send them to the lake of fire for all of eternity. But you know, some of those people, when they stand there, will have never had the opportunity that some of us have had to receive Christ as our Savior. But those of us in this country, in this room, we have the Word of God readily available. Some of us probably own several copies of this book and have it in our home. We know the right way to live, and if we don't, it's only because of our own lack of desire to get into the Word of God and find it out. We have the opportunity to come to churches like this and hear preaching of the Word of God and hear how it is that we should live and be encouraged by other believers to live the right way. We have opportunities, we have freedoms, we have privileges in the United States of America that many other countries do not have. And I understand what he was saying was that with all those opportunities, how could I stand before the one who died on an old rugged cross? Say, Lord, I lived in one of the easiest times in one of the easiest countries in all of history to serve you. And I did nothing for the cause of Christ. I understand you died for me. I understand that you loved me. I understand all that enough to have received you. I know that I'm saved and I allowed you to do something for me. But Lord, I never did one thing. That'll be a terrifying day. Can I say, teenager, that when we stand there, there will be a great amount of fear and a great amount of terror on that day. The Bible talks a lot about having the fear of the Lord. I think that one thing that is missing today from American Christianity is the fact that we don't fear God like we should. We don't understand the fear of the Lord. We think, well, you know, God's just kind of, people either have two ideas of God, it seems. Many think, well, God is just there to try to be mean to me. He's sitting in heaven waiting for me to mess up so that he can thump me on the head. And then other people think, well, God's a loving God. And that's what's preached all over the TVs and radios. And people say God is a God of love and God is a God of kindness. And it doesn't matter how you live or what you do. God will forgive you and it's no big deal. You know, that's not what the Bible says. Well, the Bible says he'll forgive us, but the Bible doesn't say that it's no big deal. It says that we should serve him. Like we talked about last night, that we can lose the blessings of serving God if we live for ourselves and if we live for this world. And teenager, it's important that we understand that there is a respectful fear of God that should be in every one of us. But can I say to you that I hope you serve God because you love him? But if it's not out of love, there still should be enough fear of saying, you know what, someday I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and I'm going to have to give an account to my Savior for the way that I lived. And because of the terror of that day, if no other reason, then it's worth living for God. Young people, it's worth it. It's worth it here and it'll be worth it on that day. I see that there is the day coming. It has a destination. You can go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. There's a declaration. There's the dread of that day, the terror of the Lord that will be there. And then go down in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That's what we were just talking about. Even if it's all wood, hay, and stubble that burns up on that day, even if their building was not the right kind of building, in other words, their life was not the right kind of a life, they'll still be allowed into heaven because these are only the people who have trusted Christ as their Savior. And we're not saved based on good works. We're not saved based on what we do. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so today, understand, we're not talking about salvation on that day by our works being judged for salvation. We're talking about our works being judged based on how many rewards that we'll receive. And he says here that some, in verse number 14, if any man's work abide which he built, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, the loss of the reward. Okay, so that's what we're talking about here in this passage. And then notice what he says right after that. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? an interesting question. Come right on the heels of, as he's been talking about the judgment seat of Christ. As he's been talking about how we'll give an account on that day. And he comes and he says, you should, in other words, basically he's saying, you should serve God because you love God. If not, you should serve God because there is a day that's coming when you'll be judged. And he says, but hey, don't you understand something? That you are the temple of God. It's almost like it's puzzling to Paul. As he's writing this Corinthian church who has a lot of sin in it, who has done a lot of wrong things, and he's really writing them a letter to tell them how to get some things right. And he begins the letter here fairly early in the letter, still in chapter 3, and says, don't you understand something, teenager? Don't you understand something, Christian? Don't you get it that you are the temple of the living God? Don't you understand that you should serve God because you love him? You should serve God because you fear him? But you should also serve God because he dwells inside of us. Because he's bought us with a price, the very price of the blood of Christ. And he's saying, Christian, teenager, don't you understand this? That you're the temple of the living God. That's a thought. But if we would spend some time thinking just on that verse, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. I wonder this week, what have you subjected the Spirit of God to? What kind of jokes have you laughed at, teenager? What kind of TV shows have you watched? What kind of places have you gone? You know, everywhere that you go as a Christian teenager, the Holy Spirit's right there with you. Everywhere that you go as a Christian, the Holy Spirit is inside of us. He's seeing the same things. He's hearing the same jokes. He's watching or aware anyway. He's seeing those same movies. What have you subjected the Holy Spirit to it? We should serve God because we love him. We should serve God because there's a day coming when we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be judged of the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. We should serve God because we've been bought, we've been purchased, and we belong to him. You know, we are not our own. We're bought with a price. We don't have the privilege today of going out and just living our life however we want to and still having the blessing of God. Because we're servants. We're bond servants. We're someone who now that we've been bought, we're supposed to listen to the commands of the master. When God gives a command, when he tells us what it is that he wants us to do, whether it's to witness to a specific person, whether it's to have the right kind of a testimony in a certain situation, whether it's to confront someone about maybe even another Christian teenager about a joke that they tell or whatever, especially around the youth group or at school or wherever you might be around them. Whatever it is, we should serve God because we've decided, and this is the final point, the dedication of the closing ceremony. You know, we should dedicate our life to God. And it's as though Paul says, this is just common sense. Don't you get this? Oh, this isn't some deep theological meaning. This isn't something that we need to go and pull out all kinds of Greek words to figure out what he's talking about. No, he says, hey, teenager, hey, Christian, this is just common sense. Don't you understand that you're the temple of God? Don't you understand that if for no other reason you should serve God because you belong to him, because he dwells in you, because he's bought you with a price? Young people, I want to encourage you tonight. Some of you decided last night to dedicate your life to Christ. You said, you know what? I'm not going to live for myself anymore. Whatever God wants to do with me, basically, Lord, here am I. Send me. And you said, Lord, I don't care what it is. I don't care who it is that you'd have for me to marry. If you make it clear to me, I'll do it. And I'll stay pure until that day. You said, Lord, I don't care where it is that you'd have me to go. If you want me to serve you as a missionary, I'll go to a foreign field. If you want me to serve you as a pastor, a pastor's wife, or an evangelist, or an evangelist's wife, Lord, I'll do that. Lord, if you want me to serve you as a business person or the wife of a business person or whatever kind of a job it is, secular-wise, Lord, whatever it is you have for me, I'll do. Some of you said that last night. It's a good decision. But some of you are still saying, you know, there's some things I like. Hey, I'll sell out to God eventually, but not yet. Brother Brian, you just don't understand. I mean, I'm only a teenager once. Hey, I only get one chance to kind of, you know, so to speak, I mean, not that I'm going to go real wild or do anything, but I only really get one chance to kind of sow some wild oats. careful. The Bible says that which a man sows, that shall he also reap. And you always reap more than you sowed. You say, Brother Brian, there's just a few things I want to do, and then I'll sell out to God. Some of you are just holding back a little bit, and you're saying, I'll give God most of my life. I'll give God most of my time. I'll give God the vast majority of all that I am. But I'm not quite ready to say all yet. Teenager, I want to encourage you to say tonight, I'm going to quit fighting. I'm going to quit battling. I'm going to quit arguing with God. I'm going to say, Lord, here's my life. It's open. There's none of it that's held back. There's nothing that is off limits to you. There's nothing that I won't surrender. Lord, whatever it is, even if I don't understand it, even if I don't know what it is tonight, even if there's a certain area that I don't want to give up, but I know that you want, Lord, I'll give you all of me because I understand that you loved me enough to die on the cross. I understand that someday I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and that's a destination that I won't be able to skip, I won't be able to miss, but I'm going to have to be there on that day and give an account of my life. And I understand that you own me. I'm the temple of God. So why would I try to live like the temple of this world? I'm going to sell out tonight for the cause of Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, honestly, I can't sell out for the cause of Christ because I don't have the right foundation. I've never received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I can't start to build a building that will be judged on that day because my foundation is that I'm trying to be good enough to get to heaven. My foundation is that I'm trying to do the right kind of things, or that I'm trying to serve the right kind of people, or whatever it is. My foundation is the wrong thing. So I've got to get the right foundation tonight. And I need to receive Christ as my Savior. Teenager, don't go out of here tonight without knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven, and knowing for sure that you're sold out for the cause of Christ. You have an opportunity this week to hear a lot of preaching. You have the opportunity this week to make some good decisions. Don't pass on those opportunities, because someday you'll give an account at the judgment seat of what you did here. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around, nobody talking. Very quickly tonight, teenager or adult, perhaps you'd say, Brother Brian, to be completely honest, I don't know for sure that I have the right foundation. I don't know for sure that I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. If I died right now, I'm not even 100% sure I'd wake up in heaven. But I'd like to be. I'd like to get that taken care of. I would like to know for sure that if I died, that the Bible says, I'd like to know what the Bible says about going to heaven for eternity. Brother Brian, I would like to get that taken care of tonight. If that's your situation as a teenager, would you slip up your hand where I can see it?